Oh, this week, are you hell-bent for laughter? Well, we are, and that's why we have Don Jameson from That Metal Show on Three Sides of the Coin. Watch it. Enjoy.
And he answers the pivotal question of who saved Kiss.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
Apparently it's me and my credit card.
It's Gene's answer.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Three Sides of the Coin. I'm one of your three co-hosts, Michael Brandvold, and I'm always joined by Tommy Summers and Mitch LaFon. I knew Mitch would say something because I changed it up on him. It's like poking a little hornet's nest of Kiss fans with me.
What, just so everyone that's listening knows, what Mitch is trying to have happen is when Mike starts to speak, because he always does the introduction, he's supposed to say, Mitch LaFon is the main, you know, host here, and my name is Michael Brandvold, and da 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 da. That's what he's working on.
Billing above you is what he wants.
Well, he wants it above you too.
Well, that won't happen because I make the introductions.
Right, it's supposed to be Three Sides of the Coin featuring Mitch LaFon.
Right, but then again, we save the best
Mitch
for last.
Mitch LaFon's Three Sides of the Coin with his co-hosts, Michael Brandvold and Tommy Summers.
Exactly, there you go. Right.
The two non-KISS fans. Two non-real KISS fans.
So we are we're recording this show on a Monday, day earlier, because we had a special guest join us.
Yeah.
This is a cool special guest. It's a special guest who fits very nicely with a previous special guest we had.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll be a part two of a part three. Who knows? But we had Don Jameson of That Metal Show.
Oh, now, Mitch, see, you just blew the surprise.
Oh, we can edit.
No, they get to see all the warts and everything in this.
Oh, you want to see some warts? Hold on.
Not the jammies again, and now the pillow, and now he's going to show us warts.
Oh, God, before I forget, can I just give a little housekeeping here? Thank you for all of the iTunes reviews. I've actually got an application now, and I can share it with you guys as well. It's called Comment Cast. It's a Mac application only that lets you see all of the reviews on iTunes left in all the other countries.
Oh, okay.
So, like, when we log into iTunes, we can only see what's going on in the U.S. Mitch sees Canada, I'm sure. But I can, in a very one nice window, take a look at all of the comments left around the world. It's very
cool. That German's really hard to read.
It's so in English. Really write. I don't know. They must translate it for us.
So there you go.
Mitch's joke fell flat on its face.
Yes.
So anyway, thank you for your reviews. If you haven't left a review, please do so. In whatever country you are, please go leave us a review. We'd love it if it was a 5-star review, but you don't have to. It's whatever you feel like we're worth.
But we'll pay you if it's a 4-star, either way.
Mitch will pay you. Oh, Mitch, before I forget, and this is up to you, a few fans have asked, what is Mitch's address so they can start sending you KISS items?
Oh, easily. It's Post Office Box, P.O. Box 282, Massena, M-A-S-S-E-N-A, New York, 13662. And I know what people are going to say, but you live in Canada. Yes, but Messina's right across the border, and that's where I pick up my mail. So, Mitch LaFon, P.O. Box 282, Messina, New York, 13662.
Last week we talked about Mitch getting packages sent to him. So if you want to send him a surprise package that he opens up as a shocker, that's the address.
Yes. Just no white powder, please. No, don't need anthrax being sent to me or anything. Think of the poor stuff like that. They just had the scare at the Super Bowl where they sent some white powder to the hotels. Come on. Don't you follow the news? Oh, sorry, you're in Minnesota. You can't read. Okay. So let's get to the shot.
So no, Mitch. There's a reason why this isn't your show, because you don't know the flow of the show. He wants to go right to a shocker. It's Tommy's time right now. Just sit there and be quiet.
We should just start with shockers. That's the way it should go.
Tommy.
That's the best part of the show.
Pretend he's been muted.
Where's my pillow? Oh, never mind.
Check between your legs. Tommy, talk to me. Give us some comments.
Is that Gene with bangs? What?
Jesus. Gene with really curly
Is that a
hair.
Pickle in Gene's mouth, or is he just happy to see you?
That's about it. Okay, so we've already put the word out on this. And I want to say thank you for all the support. So I'm not really sure when this particular episode's going to air, but I just want to say thanks to all of you people that are being supportive about me joining Michael and Mitch with the Dropping the Needle series. And I love this comment from Fred Escher. It says, so much for getting work done on Thursdays. Because we're going to be dropping them on Thursdays. I thought that was fun.
We drop the needle on Thursdays.
Thursdays, yes.
At least the first episode with Tommy is going to debut. Well, by the time you read, listen, or watch this, the first episode of Dropping the Needle will have happened the week previous.
Right. And soon enough, it'll be Dropping the Needle featuring Mitch LaFon. But give it a couple of weeks.
Never.
Yeah. And then Tim Cobb writes after the last episode that we just
did.
Oh,
I like him.
By the way, yeah, he's really nice. By the way, you guys had me cracking up at the gifts Mitch could receive in the mail. Thanks again for the laugh. So there you go, people.
So there you go. There's an address. Send him some gifts, and I'm sure it's going to crack a few people up, including
we'll shock them on the air. Yeah.
Just remember postal regulations. Just keep that in mind. There you go. But yeah,
they're not
going to
send
guy.
A bomb.
Well, I didn't
or
say they
anthrax.
Send it.
You're going
They're going to send me Vinny's album? They're sending bombs?
Good one. That was good.
Yeah. There you go. Mitch has got it. Too much caffeine, though, I think.
All right. So, since Mitch already let the cat out of the bag, we've got a special guest in this episode. It is one of the co-hosts of The Metal Show. Don Jameson is joining us.
And huge Kiss fan.
Huge fan. And he spills the beans on what Eddie did when he found out that Kiss got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it includes Kleenex.
What? He didn't say anything about you. He said what Eddie did.
It's a good thing Mitch is not a comedian for a living.
Even though my guidance counselor at school suggested it, but then again, he and I'm not kidding about this, suggested funeral home director and bus driver too.
Now, funeral home director, I could see.
And I'm not kidding. Yeah. That's the worst part. That's what they said.
You put Kiss makeup on all the dead guys, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That'd be
and
your,
take a
yeah.
selfie. Oh my god. Terrible.
Oh, just put it on.
So Don sits down for a half hour with us and talks to Kiss. Very fun discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So nice. I guess before Mitch opens his mouth and does something stupid again, let's just hit the play on that, and then we'll come back and chat after.
Perfect.
Yeah, cool. Here's Don James.
And welcome to Three Sides of the Coin. Got a special guest this week. Don Jameson, co-host of That Metal Show and stand-up comedian. And, of course, he's got a new CD, Hell Bent for Laughter. Is that it?
Sorry. Yes, that's it. Hell Bent for Laughter, coming out on Metal Blade March 18th.
There you go.
Obviously a play on the Judas Priest album, Hell Bent for Leather. My last one was called Live and Hilarious, which is a play on Thin Lizzy, Live and Dangerous. So I figured since they didn't sue me, I'm going to take my chances with Priest and hopefully not get sued by them either.
Being that you're a Kiss fan, why didn't you just call your next album Dead?
Instead of Alive?
Instead of Alive, I would call it Dead.
That's probably what the critics are going to say once they hear it. So I don't know.
And just before we get talking about Kiss, I just have one question. I live in Montreal where they have the Just for Last Festival. Have you come up here and played that?
No, I haven't. I haven't performed at the festival, but I've done a bunch of different venues up there. I played at Fofoon's, the rock club up there.
Yeah,
and I've also done the what's the big theater? Is it the Olympic Theater up there?
The Olympia.
The Olympia, yeah. I did that with Andrew Dice Clay probably about 4 or 5 years ago. So I've been up there to perform, and I'm not just saying this because you're from Canada, but some of the best audiences I've been in front of are Canadian audiences, man. So I always love coming up there and performing.
Don, where's the toughest?
Where's the toughest? New York or L.A., you know, because you're either going to be the best night of your life, or you're going to get, you know, the arms folded. Yeah, I see every show that comes through town. You know, people in the middle of the country, you know, they're not, you know, if you go to, you know, a town 15 miles outside of, you know, any major city, unless they go into the city, you know, they're not getting a lot of shows, you know, out there. So, you know, they're a little more appreciative when you come through. But that being said, Montreal is a big city, and I've gone over well up there, which is nice, because you always hope there's not going to be too much of a gap, you know, humor-wise, with when you go out of the country.
Let's hope we get you up for that Just for Laugh festival. So,
Don, you are on our show because you're a huge Kiss fan.
Yeah.
Yes.
When did you first discover Kiss? When did they break your virginity?
Yes, they did, and they broke it hard. They were not easy on me at all. They took me in every way possible. They got me from behind, the missionary style. And I was on top. They were on top. That's what it's like to be a Kiss fan, you know, really, because it's, you know, when I was 9 years old and you know, my mom bought me Destroyer, without even putting the album on, I said, this is the greatest thing ever. I mean, these guys are... they're larger than life. There's this, you know, look at, you know, what band could be cooler than this? I mean, these guys are like superheroes, and then you put the record on, and Detroit Rock City starts playing, and it was like, there's no way to turn back now, you know. I can't start listening to Bee Gees. This is the stuff, man. And that's how it all started for me. I thought that I'd never be able to like another band once I like Kiss, because I'm like, you know, who else is going to do stage shows like this and have this kind of image and also had cool music? Like, you know, where else am I going to go to get anything near this, you know? And it did. It took me years to actually start to branch out and like other stuff.
So was that when Destroyer first came out? Was that back in 76?
Let's see. I was, I got to do the math somehow. No, I guess it was probably a few years later than that that I actually got it. But again, yeah, it did. It took me from, you know, every angle. It really did. It consumed my life, man. I had, you know, my walls in my bedroom were filled every single inch with Kiss posters. I put the Kiss cards. I taped it to the molding all around the room. I started, you know, putting them up on the ceiling above me until, you know, that was where my mom and dad drew the line. But, you know, they just, they took over my life. So I was about 12, and then I started to get into Aerosmith, but for about a good solid 3 years, that was it. I just lived, breathed, and ate Kiss.
So when did you first see them in concert?
You know what? I never saw the original band. The first time I ever saw them live was, they were out doing actually like a club tour, and they were already out of the makeup by then. It was, probably somewhere around...
Was that 92?
Early 90s. Sometime.
Yeah. 92 for the Revenge album.
So that's interesting. Why did you wait so long? I mean, they certainly had been on tour in the States. Why not see them in 85 or 87 or?
Well, you know, it's interesting that your show is called Three Sides of the Coin, because you know, Eddie and I are actually big fans of the Unmasked album,
right?
Even though I know a lot of people, that's not one of their favorite because it's very poppy, but we actually love that album a lot. But, I by that point, I wasn't really that into the 80s Kiss, you know. I was really into the original band. So you know, while I was out discovering, like I said, I moved on to Aerosmith, and then I picked up Iron Maiden, Killers, and then I got into Priest and Motorhead and Anvil and Riot and all these bands. So, you know, I sort of took a left turn, you know, but right after the Unmasked album. I never stopped loving Kiss. I mean, even to this day, I'm still a huge Kiss fan. I might even still be a sergeant in the Army. I'm not sure, but, I sort of was in checking out other stuff, getting into heavier things then. And also, you know, back then, you know, going to concerts wasn't what it kind of is now. Like, it was, you know, but bands wouldn't come around as much. You know, it was a big event, and it wasn't always easy to go and get tickets for shows and stuff, like, back then for some reason. And I didn't even go to my first concert until I was, like, 16. So, you know, I was a little bit of a late bloomer with that.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh, in New Jersey. Okay. That's cool that you know, at least you finally got to see them. And look what it's done, you know, with your love of music. Now you're on, a fantastic show on VH1, and you got all kinds of great things going for you.
Well, so, Don.
Well, thanks. Yep.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, the seeing Kiss in 92, you know, in such a small place, and I was actually sitting next to Lenny Kravitz, who was just sort of starting to make a name for himself at the time. But, you know, it was so funny because years later when we got really huge, it was like, man, he and I geeked out that whole show because they did such an old school set, and he and I were both freaking out, like, singing every song, you know. Like, we were buds by the end of the night because we were both just consumed with Kiss. And it was really good. And then the cool thing is, like, you know, over the years, I've actually gone back and gotten a real appreciation for some of those albums that I missed out on at the time. You know, I bought Lick It Up, I bought Animalize. You know, I kind of kept up with it, but, you know, like I said, I was also discovering the new wave of British heavy metal and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I sort of did the same thing where I bought those albums out of a sense of loyalty. Not really because I wanted new Kiss music, but because they had meant so much to me in the 70s.
Right, true. And you know, I think I pretty much, other than the last couple, I think I have everything, including that great box set that they put out, I guess probably about 10 years ago. You guys are better with the timelines and the dates than I am, but that had a lot of that stuff included, and that sort of got me back into, like, going, oh, you know what, I gotta listen to that Revenge album. And also, you know, I just got a turntable for Christmas, and I just, you know, took out all my, I kept all my vinyl,
cool.
And I had it in a storage unit for years, and so I'm having a blast now going back and rediscovering all kinds of music, but I know that there's a whole crate of Kiss albums, so I'm excited to go back and listen to Kiss on vinyl the way I originally discovered them.
Well, I saw that you posted the Ace Frehley picture disc on your Twitter, so it's always exciting.
Yeah. I don't care what anybody said. People were calling me a geek, a nerd, you know, some stuff not even as nice as that. But, hey, I don't care. I'm 47, and when I put that picture disc on the turntable, that was the coolest thing in the world to me.
So Don, we know what Eddie thinks of current Kiss wearing makeup. He's just very vocal about it. He talked for hours with us about it. What are your feelings about Kiss with Eric and Tommy wearing the makeup of Ace and Peter?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that's really out of character for Ed to have really strong opinions and to go on and on like that, because he's usually pretty reserved.
So I've heard.
Talking about Kiss and the makeup, especially with the makeup. I mean, you know, honestly, man, I'm not as intense as Ed is about it. I mean, you know, any bands that have been around as long as Kiss, members come, members go. You know, obviously, I'm sure Ed made the distinction many times. It's nothing against Tommy and Eric, particularly Eric for me, because I've seen Eric play with Alice Cooper and tons of other bands and
he's great.
And he's an amazing musician, and so I don't have as much of an issue with it as him. Obviously, yeah, in an ideal world, do you want the original guys together? Of course you do, but that's, you know, that's not the way it is. There's bands out there touring that have one original member. You know, it's just a personal choice. You can go, I'm either going to go because I like the music and I want to see it performed, or you could say I'm a purist and I'm not going to do it. You know, whether or not you think the quality of the band or what they're doing at this point is up to snuff, that's a personal opinion. Like I said, I haven't really kept up with them the last couple albums. I've heard a few of the singles. It sounded good. It sounded like, you know, good classic Kiss, but, you know, I haven't seen this new version of the band, so, you know, I wouldn't be against it. But, you know, there's part of me that's a purist, you know, again, being, you know, loving that original band as much as I do. But I understand Gene and Paul's side of it, which is, you know, you got to be able to tour. You got to be able to play. Ace and Peter were their own worst enemies by their own admission. So, you know, if they're not able to be healthy enough or have the stamina to go out and tour, you know, what are these guys supposed to do? They want to continue being Kiss. So they moved on.
So how cool, how cool was it for you when people like Ace were on the metal show?
I mean, you know, I always say, you know, the two coolest members of Kiss have been on our show, you know, and, you know, and look, the door is always open for Gene, for Paul, for Tommy, for Arrow, all the guys, you know, any Kiss member, past or present, Vinnie Vincent, you know, but,
to be a lot of drama between Eddie and Paul, it's what it seems like now, about why they aren't coming on the show.
Yeah, and you know, I don't really know what the honest to God answer is. You know, Eddie has a, you know, I'm sure he may have mentioned that he's been in radio for 30 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he has a, I'm not sure if he mentioned it or not.
A couple times, I think.
Yeah, so, which is the beauty of, you know, us doing the show, because thanks to Eddie having great relationships with these artists, we've been able to get amazing people to come and sit with us three idiots from New Jersey. But, you know, he also has history with people, and some of it's, and history with people, and some of it has been up and down over the years, and for whatever reason, you know, maybe some of that has seeped into the television world as far as whether these guys want to come in and talk. So, you know, they don't have to do the show. You know, that's what Gene said in Rolling Stone. He's right. They're not obligated to do the show just because, you know, we talk about them a lot or we're fans of theirs. They don't want to do the show. That's up to them. We would love them to. Their fans would love to see them on the show. Our fans would love to see them on the show. I hope, you know, someday we can make it happen.
Do the three of you guys off camera, or maybe just you and Eddie, sit down and geek out into some deep Kiss conversations every once in a while?
Yeah, we have, you know, so, you know, we'll get together and, you know, watch football games together on Sundays, and, you know, eventually the conversation's going to turn to Kiss in one way or another, and, yeah, we're definitely, you know, we're deep, much deeper into Kiss than Jim has been over the years, but, yeah, so we get, you know, like I said, we always will tweet people on Twitter all the time, you know, just talking about Unmasked, and, you know, we'll make, like, you know, we'll tweet at Scotty and say, you know, Unmasked is one of the best Kiss albums, and he'll go crazy, and then we start the whole Twitter thing, and it'll be a lot of fun. But, yeah, so we kind of geek out on that stuff. You know, we're all, you know, we make fun of nerds, but, you know, all we are really is, you know, metal nerds and Kiss nerds. You know, we just, it's some, you know, music that we love, those first eight Kiss albums, regardless of any kind of drama or any hard feelings or whatever, are untouchable.
Well, and that's kind of what the premise is for us with our show, is it's just three geeks getting together to talk about a band that we all really love, and that's what the whole thing is. And what I enjoy, because I think I've seen every single episode of that metal show, and what I find interesting is I feel like the three of you have a great chemistry, which is part of what makes that show work, and the diversity of the different artists. But it's neat to show people that, hey, you know, we can have a show, we can do all these different things, and we can still like rock and roll. We're not too old at age 47 to still want to put on a Motley Crue record or Iron Maiden or whomever it is that you like.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, and I think it's the case with most people who like hard rock and metal. It's, you know, I think very few of us are, you know, switching over to a different type of music halfway through our lives. You know, I guess some guys do. And look, we all sometimes grow out of bands that we loved, you know, back when we were younger. But But, you know, Kiss for me is definitely a band that, you know, I've never grown out of, because I can put on the first Kiss album, or I could put on Rock and Roll Over, or I could put on Hotter Than Hell and get the same enjoyment out of it that I did back then, you know, as a kid. I mean, the music still, you know, resonates with me. You know, I mean, as far as doing the TV show, and this doesn't just apply to Kiss, this would apply to anybody, but, you know, obviously you watch the show, we never trash anybody. You know, we're not about that. We're not going to come out and badmouth anybody. If you know, if we don't like something, normally we just don't speak about it, you know, as opposed to putting bands or musicians down. That's not our style. But, you know, we will be honest, whether we like a song or a tour or an album or something affiliated with a band or an artist. If we don't like it, you know, we'll be truthful about it, because I think, and that definitely does offend certain people, but it doesn't mean we don't like that band anymore. It doesn't mean we, you know, we've written them off. It just means, hey, I didn't like this album. It just didn't work for me. And when you're talking about most of the people on our show, they've got 30-plus years of music under their belt. So there's going to be a misstep along the way, you know, for any fan. You know, even if the band thinks every album's perfect, there's always going to be one album that a fan doesn't like, you know, or you just don't like personally, or you don't like a certain member leaving and somebody coming in and wearing the makeup. You know, that's all personal stuff, you know. But the main thing on the show is, if we say everything is great, then there's no credibility. Then right. What's bad? You know, so that's important too.
But it doesn't make you not as much of a fan as the next person just because you don't happen to like that particular record.
Right, exactly. So, you know, any times that we've been critical of things Kiss have done, again, it never takes away from being a Kiss geek. You know, it never takes away from, again, like I said, putting on, you know, Kiss Alive 1 and I'm immediately 12 years old again. I mean, I still get that feeling.
Why haven't you kept up with the last couple of albums with Kiss, with Sonic Boom and Monster? Is it simply you just don't like them, or does Kiss not take up as much importance in your life right now?
Yeah, it's probably more of that, you know, that they just don't take up as much importance. Like I said, the songs that I heard, I know there's a song on the newer album, I think, called Wall of Sound that Gene sings that I really liked a lot. But, I mean, nothing that I've thought out. You know, I didn't say I'm not getting this album because Ace and Peter aren't on it. You know, I'm long past that. It just hasn't come up. But
no, because I find it interesting.
God bless it, man.
You mentioned that you picked up Lick It Up and Animalize sort of, you know, as out of loyalty and to keep the thing going, and then these ones you haven't. So I was just wondering if you just didn't like them.
No, I definitely felt more of a sense of loyalty when I was 27 as opposed to 47.
Mitch, you've got like 12 copies of Monster. Why don't you send Don one of them?
Yeah, there you go. Send him the German release.
I'll take it if you have it on vinyl. If you have it on vinyl, I'll take it.
It exists, but no, I don't have it on vinyl. I'll send you the tribute album I did for Kiss instead.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A lot of controversy about whether Kiss should go in with only the four. Should they bring Bruce? Should they bring... What are your thoughts? And what do you think is actually going to happen?
Well, my thought is this. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the hall set the guidelines. They just want to induct the original four. So there's no disputing that. You know, I could have my opinion. I could say, yeah, I think Bruce should be, you know, there. I think, you know, Eric should be in there. You can make a case, you know, how many years is this guy in the band? How many years is that guy in the band? And you could make a case that could go in, but it's the whole deciding, and they say it's the original four. So,
but there is room. Metallica had Trujillo go in, and I think the Eagles had pretty much every member that ever shared a stage with them, so I guess Kiss, you know, Gene and Paul could negotiate to have Bruce there, could negotiate to have Vinny there, if they really wanted to.
That could be going on behind the scenes, you know, I don't know anything about that. I think as far as them playing together, I think that Gene and Paul have kind of come out and said that that's not happening. So, you know, if that's the case, you know, people who, you know, obviously, it's, you know, the induction ceremony is in Brooklyn. I mean, it's right in, you know, Kiss's hometown. So, you know, obviously it's important for fans to know who's playing and who's not. You know, there's Kiss fans all over the world who are going to want to come in for this if they can see the original guys playing. And if not, just let us know, you know. Let us know, hey, we're going to, Ace and Peter are going to join us on stage to be inducted, and they're going to say a few words, and then Kiss, the modern version of the band, is going to play. Just be honest for the fans. That's all I would ask.
Hey, Don, let me ask you something. Give us the real scoop here. So when Eddie found out that Kiss was going in, did he jump up and down and scream like a 12-year-old girl?
I can tell you that he was genuinely excited, you know. And what you see on TV is, you know, is genuine. He was and is very happy about it. But he is, you know, he is sad that, you know, we can't sort of come to a happy place with those guys. You know, maybe someday, we'll see.
Now we know Jim is not the biggest Kiss fan. Does he ever roll his eyes at you guys and go, "What a bunch of geeks"?
No, because, you know, we could say the same thing about him, about Rose Tattoo, or, you know, the bands that he loves that, you know, we're not that into. You know, we all have our guys, you know. So for Jim, you know, he'd have other bands. Like I said, Rose Tattoo is one of them,
So he's their fan. I knew he'd find them eventually.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys ever do, like, a Rose Tattoo podcast.
You know,
yeah. He should definitely be your first guest.
He'd be the first guest and the first listener.
Yeah, I've never heard of the band.
They're an Australian.
You guys could be called the Angry Andersons or something.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
Podcast.
Perfect.
All right, so Don, we're coming up close to a half hour here. I want to make sure we give you one more chance to remind everybody of the comedy album you've got coming out next month.
Yeah, it's Hellbent for Laughter, out on Metal Blade Records, which is obviously a great heavy metal label. I was the first comedian signed to Metal Blade, which is a great honor for me, you know, to have that Metal Blade stamp on a comedy album, especially. And they were nice enough to pick up my option to do a second CD. So that's coming out March 18th, and it will include several jokes about Kiss on there.
Oh, you've got to say that.
That's a big selling point for fans of your show, that there are jokes about Kiss, and please don't yell at me for them on Twitter. They're just jokes. I'm from New Jersey, so that's the only way I know how to show affection is by breaking balls.
Are they all Vinnie Vincent jokes by any chance?
Are there any what?
Are they all Vinnie Vincent jokes, the Kiss jokes?
No, but I'm gonna start a campaign this coming week on that metal show to get the Vinnie Vincent invasion into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'm not stopping until they get in.
There's your first joke right there. Well, are you going to be touring with this summer or spring, or, you know, are you going to hit the comedy clubs around the country?
Yeah, I'll be, you know, I'm on the road every weekend, so it'll just be business as usual for me. But, I'll just, starting March 18th, it'll be all out in support of Hellbent for Laughter. And, you know, obviously I'll be doing selections from that CD as it is, including the Kiss jokes. And I've even written some new Kiss jokes since then. So we'll have a nice little Kiss section of my comedy show if you come out and see me.
Perfect. Yeah, and you know, if you're coming to Minneapolis, that's where I am.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be in Minneapolis March 14th and 15th at the New Hope Cinema Comedy Club, Bar and Grill, University,
okay.
Something, whatever.
Yep, I know where it is.
So, come on out, man.
Come on out,
yeah,
and heckle them.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I'll just ask you quickly about Metal Blade. You know, Brian Slagle runs that thing so efficiently, and it's interesting that he puts out comedy albums from time to time. What does Brian mean to you and to the whole comedy genre and metal in general?
Well, what he means to me is that he doesn't mind losing money on albums.
Exactly.
You know, because I don't think I'm racking up Black Dahlia Murder numbers, but no, he's obviously, I was, you know, I mean, it's funny to say you're a fan of somebody who's not a some kind of artist, but to me, he is an artist. I mean,
oh, I agree.
You know, yeah. he's a guy who was selling, you know, homemade tapes out of his trunk because he just loved the music so much. He's obviously the guy that helped put Metallica together and put him on an early compilation CD that he did, and he's built that into a really successful record label that after 30 years is going stronger than ever. And, you know, understood, like, where the business was going, and he shifted the business model when all the big record companies said, we don't care about this downloading and Napster and any of that stuff. We're still going to charge $17.99 per CD. We don't care about, the fans of these bands. We're just going to soak every penny out of them. And Metal Blade realized, you know, there's a whole new way of doing business in this era, and it's really, you know, a lot of it's social media driven, and... You know, he still runs the label in some ways old school, but it's, you know, a very modern take on things. And, you know, like I said, you know, they have a lot of newer bands on there. And I was just really psyched that, you know, he took me under his wing and he enjoyed my comedy and thought enough of me to put out an album.
That's awesome. Yeah. Very cool.
And I just find Brian remarkable because, you know, as somebody who's covered metal for Brave Words and stuff for the last 20 years, it's the genre that should have disappeared first when all the record companies were folding, and yet he's managed to not only keep it alive, but thrive. He's just an incredible businessman and just an incredible person. So, you know, kudos to Brian.
I agree. I mean, you know, he took a few of us out to dinner the other night, and I said, come on, man, you know, let me buy the check this time. He's like, no, I got it. And I go, I guess that's how, you know, you got to do business. Like, you got to spend money to lose money, right?
Right. Well,
I know I ain't making him any money.
That dinner will show up in your recoupment costs, so don't get too excited.
Yeah, I know. There's always something tricky with these records.
Yeah. And the last question for me today is, did Vinnie Vincent save Kiss?
Did he save Kiss?
Well, of course, that's what everybody says.
Well, if anybody saved Kiss, it was Eric Carr. I mean, you know, when he came into the band, obviously you guys know they were basically down to the club level, and nobody was taking them very seriously. And when Eric came in and brought that big arena drum sound, you know, I mean, just put on Creatures of the Night, and you're going to hear a band that was completely re-energized by a new member. And I mean, as much as I'm a fan of Vinny's playing, and I even like his solo albums, but you know, if you want to talk about a savior, I think Eric was the guy.
Good answer.
An original answer, you know, through all the debates that Kiss fans have, I've never heard that postulated before, so good on you.
Postulated. That's a
big well. You know, we got to pay him respect. You know, he's not with us anymore. And regardless, to me, that's the truth of the matter. You know, he just came in and gave him the kick in the pants when they really needed it, and you know, fit in well with the guys. He was well loved by the fans, which is super important too. You know, is that the fans really like this new member coming in, because he was the first new member. You know, you guys remember, it was like, God, we don't have Peter anymore. This is like, how you couldn't imagine it. And when he came in and he had his own, this persona, the fans really took to him. So obviously that was huge, you know, for Kiss fans. It's like, okay, we can embrace this guy too. Not only is he a great player, but he's a, you know, a great new member.
Yeah, and of course, when he went down to Australia on the Unmasked tour, he made those Unmasked songs sound even better than they already did, so can't get
better. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I've heard some of that stuff over the years, man, and he was just a kick-ass drummer, and Eddie always says, you know, he always says to me and Jim, he goes, God, I wish you guys would have known Eric, because he's just like you guys, a total ball buster, loves pranks and just breaking balls with people. You know, you guys would have loved him if you had known him, so... that's great stuff to hear.
And Don, before we wrap up here, where can people find you online? What's your website, your Twitter?
Yeah, you could follow me on Twitter at Real Don Jameson, or my website's just donjameson.com. I just updated some tour dates and stuff on there, so check that out. It's minutes of fun. And I appreciate you guys having me on.
No, Don, yeah. Thank you for joining us. This was great.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
And I got to say, as a Kiss fan, you got to go see his Twitter. Every so often, these Kiss references and Kiss tweets come out, and they're great, because I follow you. So there you go.
Yeah, all of us
should
follow.
I'll come up with a good one today.
Good. Do. Yeah, please.
Don,
well, thank you very much.
Don, thank you so much.
Thanks again. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
Yeah. But you're both crystal clear.
On my end, it's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Because you're in Canada, not in Minnesota or California.
But I can see you so much better during the day like this.
I wish you were in a fog.
Well, my wife thinks I am, mostly. All right, let's get out of Don.
So we just finished with Don. What do you guys think? Oh, Jesus, Mitch.
What?
It's like talking to a two-year-old with him. He just, in one ear and out the other ear.
Now, Don was great. First of all, great that he accepted to come on the podcast. And, you know, that metal show with Eddie and now Don, they've shown some love for our podcast. And you got to respect that as well. Anyway, great conversation. And I like his answer about who he thinks actually saved Kiss, because I've never really heard that before.
Yeah.
All in all, I thought it was a great interview, and I'm very appreciative that he came on.
I would love to have a That Metal Show blooper, not blooper reel, but behind the scenes reel where they just kind of catch some of the Kiss geek talk that goes on between those guys.
That would be cool.
The three idiots from New Jersey. We need to have a wrestling match. The three idiots from New Jersey versus the three idiots from Three Sides of the Coin.
Well,
Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I'd also like to hear their ace versus Tommy discussion. That's got to be quite uplifting. I'm sure they're excited.
Uplifting. What are you trying to be politically correct here?
It's like Oprah, this show, quite frankly. It's all about, you know, Maya Angelou and uplifting. That's what we do here. No?
She is just...
I'm just here for the shockers part. All this other stuff. Let's go. Move it along. I'm killing him today. I'm having a good time.
There's a reason his name is not top billing.
Yes.
This show would be in the trash if it was.
Hey, there's some other podcast I can join out there.
Hey, there you go. He's a free agent. We're willing to trade Mitch LaFon.
For
any of you other podcasts that are interested in Mitch LaFon, reach out to us. Tell us what you've got to trade.
Yes.
A couple of guitar picks, maybe.
It's not going to take a lot.
I was thinking make a lump of coal or something.
What I like about Eddie and Don is that they're actually tried and true Kiss fans. I think the real challenge here is now for us to go get Jim on the show and hear sort of the anti-Kiss fan perspective. I think that could also be quite
that would make some of our listeners very happy who want to hear some very heated discussions.
Yes.
Of people who don't agree with each other.
Well, they want a dissenting voice. I just say to them, listen, just scream at your screen. You know, you don't need a guest.
We scream at Mitch all the time. You might as well do it out there too.
No, they're very, very mean to me. Sure. That's what my mom said after she came on the show.
Did your mom get any fan mail?
No, but I guess people wrote me and said, oh, I loved your mom. I guess I should have told her about that.
I think you should.
Yeah.
She skipped out on lunch with Jane. She gets no love. Not until it's part of a pre-show package that she can buy me from the Kiss, you know. Right now, all you get is a picture. As soon as they have lunch with Jean and she buys it for me, we'll be back tomorrow.
All right. So, Mitch, can you keep yourself quiet for 15 Vancouvers?
I was going to count Montreal's today.
No, Vancouver's. Mitch, that's the name. Mitch, he may look insane. Mitch, it rocks your game. Mitch.
Kiss Shockers for Mitch's Locker.
Yeah.
Go. I don't want to. I can't stand sitting here watching you count.
I was only at 8 Vancouver.
He can't count in his head, can he, Tommy?
Mm-mm. All right, folks. This is the first thing I ever bought at any rock concert in my life. This is the original Dynasty tour book.
Not the original.
Well, the one that they were selling in Montreal on August 6, 1979. So I pulled this out now. As you can see up here, there's a hole in it because, being a brilliant 11-year-old, I nailed it to the wall, which didn't make my mom very happy. But, yeah, this is the first thing I ever bought at a KISS concert. Look at that, a nice picture of a pinball machine. And, yeah, kept it all these years. So this is actually, when was 1979? Like 35 years ago or something like that? So look at that.
So
isn't that awesome?
Related to the Dynasty Tour book, did either of you guys see online over the last week or so the eBay auction?
Yes, I did.
The first printing that was only sold at like one show.
Yes, what a cool cover.
Last I saw, it was up to like $10,000 for one.
$10,000, I saw that.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. And wow. What's more remarkable is that somebody is willing to pay that kind of money for something that could be just a very nice knockoff done on a printer. I mean, how do you know it's actually legitimate? See, and that's where my collecting differs, because all these things that I have, because I don't buy KISS stuff on eBay, I know this is the original tour book I bought because I still have it. And this is the real deal, folks. 1979. What we should do is, as you look here, there's a whole bunch of names. These are all potential guests, quite frankly. That's the way I look at it. Pixie Esmond Wardrobe. Do we know Pixie?
Nope.
Well, we should. Ken Ortega. Do we know Ken? Oh, yes, we do. Ken Ortega? The guy who did High School Musical was a consulting choreographer for KISS? Huh. Learn something new every day. Well, there you go.
And I had no idea Ken Ortega was involved with the High School Musical.
Trust me, I have a 10-year-old girl who, when that came out, was like a 4-year-old girl.
That's such a lie.
It was a good movie on the Disney Channel. It was a Friday night. There was nothing else on.
There you go. Look, I don't have an issue. I'm just saying own it. That's all.
Well, there you go. Right, so there you go. Well, that's cool stuff.
That was cool. Not quite as shocking as last week.
No, but and look, the KISS Army. Look at the price for the KISS Army. Can you see the price for the KISS Army there? $6. $6.
And I couldn't afford it back then.
What is the KISS Army now? It's $45 for the basic membership, I think.
I don't know. What was your renewal?
It's not up yet. Relax. There you go. The original Dynasty tour book. That one is not for sale. That one I'm going to keep, the original Dynasty
tour. Nobody would buy it with a nail hole in it.
Well, they might get a reduced rate, but no, I'm keeping that one. Yeah, I don't know. The stuff you do as a kid and that you regret later on. I had the little KISS minivan. I threw that off of every possible ramp, down every possible staircase. If only I had known, I would have kept it.
Yep.
And of course, the little KISS radio that, because I live in a forest, never had any reception, met the back end of a hammer. And had only I had known.
That sounds like therapy.
You are an idiot.
That sounds like therapy.
There is a lot of therapy that a KISS psychologist could have here with Mitch.
Well, KISS has had psychologists
going
as a...
All the way back to that first meeting and no lunch.
That's going to haunt you forever.
It has been, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure someday it'll be part of the after show... Motley Crue for $4,000 should offer lunch as part of that package.
At least eat in the catering. I mean, Christ, that food sucks.
Yeah. And it's not like they pay for it anyway.
It's not like there's going to be more than two people who would spend $4,000, so you might as well at least give them some
I think it's going to be him and the table for one.
And broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give him a paper plate and some plastic utensils, and off they go.
All right, guys, let's wrap this one up.
Okay.
So,
as always, I've been usually entertaining.
Homework.
Homework. Watch that metal show.
Mm-hmm. Not homework. Well, what are they going to do?
I don't know. Watch High School Musical. It was fantastic.
Tommy, we need somebody that's serious here. Come up with some homework. People ignore
He's got me so twisted up right now, I can't think straight.
Go listen to the Unmasked album and tell us all about it.
That's a tough one, because I think it should be something to do with Don. You know, something, or that metal show, something that has to do with our guest. You know, how do you feel about what Don had to say about Eric Carr?
Did Eric Carr save Kiss? There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes.
No, don't have to watch High School Musical or whatever that is.
It's terrible. You know.
Did Eric Carr save Kiss? Head over to facebook.com/threesidesofthecoin, our YouTube channel, youtube.threesidesofthecoin.com or threesidesofthecoin.com. Wherever we are, go leave us some comments on your homework.
Right.
Oh, you know what? And let me do this before we forget. I want to just show some love to a couple more people who have sent us some donations.
Oh, yeah. That's important to do.
Big shout out to Allison, and another shout out to Alexander, and a shout out to Adam. Boy, it's all great. A's. Allison,
thank
Alexander,
you,
and Adam all made some donations within the last couple days. Thank you so much, right. Everybody. We actually put some of the donations to use, because in order to speak with Don, we had to get a phone number for him to call. And that meant going out and subscribing to and paying for a Skype phone number.
Right.
There you go.
So thank you.
And this week, we're accepting donations from people in the bees. So please, if there's a Bruno out there, you know.
As I count, we've had 3, 6, 9, 12. We've had about 15 donations made.
That's awesome. Incredible. Thank you.
The most consistent donation comes from Wizard Butt.
And who doesn't like Wizard Butt?
Anyway, thank you. You can make donations at...
Oh, wait, he was an ank, not a wizard.
Look at... Mitch just walks all over the plug. ThreeSidesOfTheCoin.com. Head over there. There's a button on any of the videos or on the left column if you want to make a donation. Whatever you want. Any amount. I think a dollar or more is what they would accept. So anything is appreciated.
Yes.
Okay. That's it.
All right.
Next week. Later.
See ya.